Turn your Bibles, will, to James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse number 12. We continue a series of messages that are a building theme or a theme that's directing towards more and more or kind of working its way up, if you will, through a series of subjects. The first message we preached about was about salt and how salt is very much like our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. No substitute for salt, no replacement. We do need something from without us to help us as sinners before God. We took a look at our sin and our sins and how it is our transgression that has separated us from God. We need a payment for sins. And not only that, but we need help with this nature. We've got a nature that we inherited from our father Adam, and it is bent towards nothing but sinning against God, transgressing God's law. And that leads us to this understanding that we have from the scriptures, and what these things lead to is this of our old man and our new man. And that's what we desire to preach about and look into the Word of God about this morning, that we might understand about the old man and new man and understand about what's being done or what will not be done regarding them. In James chapter 1, verse number 12, I thought it best to start off here to be reminded about what is within us naturally and what is at work. And if you're here and you're not saved, understand this is the way it is with you. This is the way it is with all of us. But we who are saved, we have something additional. We have the Spirit of God living within. We have the new man by which this that we read here can be combated. But the one that is not saved, does not have the Spirit of God living within, does not have the new man, you are bound by this. This is all you have. And so you need salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And that's we who are saved. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. This is the case with all of us. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And understand that the Lord does test and try his children, but he doesn't take evil and parade it in front of us, or wickedness and sin and parade it in front of us to see if we'll bite. That's what Satan does. Now, you know what? The Lord may put you to the test and then you and me to the test. And if we disobey him, that is sin. But our Lord will not take something that is wicked and sinful and parade it in front of us like Satan does. Okay, so understand that difference. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust or desire and enticed, that's within. Then when lust hath conceived, okay, it comes without, which it bringeth forth sin. And as it is so with sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin equals death. Mark it down. It's just that way. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I think it's appropriate to read these three verses after this to know the blessing and the work of God within us and what he's done for us in salvation. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The good blessing is always from God. The flesh is going to be bent towards sin, and the old man is just that. So we have this contrast here, okay? And I've wondered about why these verses are right after the verses that we read there about us being tempted and are drawn away by our own lust and enticed and such as that. Do not err. Don't have this error about in your thinking and my thinking. Good gifts and every perfect gifts comes from above, the Lord, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Listen, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. See, there's the new man. There's the good and perfect gift from the Lord. And what a gift it is. You know, salvation is more than just having your sins forgiven, but the great working of God in us and for us on our behalf. Otherwise, as we look into it, it just goes on and on and on what our Lord has done for us. He's not left us to wrestle with sin, or well, we couldn't even wrestle with sin without him, but he has birthed us of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know what first fruits are, a symbol of, a showing forth of? Life. We'll go in the some are doing so now, planting some fall and winter garden. And when you plant something, or when we go to plant garden, and the farmers are planting wheat, and we'll plant more crops in the spring, what do they expect? They expect fruit. And the fruit came from new life. Okay? And so a contrast there that I think is a blessing to us when we see it that way. The old man, the old flesh, the old mind, it'll generate nothing but sin. But you know what? Life in Christ, the new man at hand, will generate fruit unto God. We asked this question last time, and we want to turn over here and just emphasize this in Genesis chapter 2. Which came first, sin or the old nature? Or our old man, which came first? In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 16, the Lord tells Adam, and God command, the Lord God commanded the man, verse number 16 of Genesis 2, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. What happened? Well, he ate of it, and he did die that day, even though it took 900 and some years for his body to die. You know the passage, I trust that you do, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The Lord, the scripture tells us, the apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, it's the old man is sin, he's depraved, he's full of sin. Sin equals death, full of nothing but death. And we have this old nature as a result of that first transgression against God. And I tell you what, it's on us like white on rice. Understand that? And it's in and through us. I mean, we're ate up with it. We're filled with it. Every molecule and atom of our being is corrupted by it. We do well to understand that. And then it helps us to understand about what the Lord has done for us even more, that we might glorify and praise him. So what does the scripture say? What do the scriptures say about our old man? Okay, so let's just take a look at this morning. In Colossians chapter 3, and this term old man is used in a handful of passages, and to the church at Colossae, the apostle writes, and let's see here what is said about the old man, okay? The old man, our old nature, namely our body and our mind, okay? Because man is made body, soul, and spirit. Our bodies we see, that's how we're manifest one to another. Our soul is that eternal part of us. That is who you are on the inside. You're you, and there's nobody else like you. There never will be anybody. There will never be another you. You didn't come, you and I weren't somebody else and then came back to this life as somebody else, okay? You're you forever. As a brother mentioned this morning, when we were conceived and brought to life by that working of the Lord, that's you forever. Forever and ever and ever. The Lord gave you a body, gave us bodies, and then we have, and it is somewhat of a mystery, but then we have the capacity of the spirit within, and that's where Adam died and where we're all born dead in that way. The spirit, as I understand it, the scripture tells us, and we have understanding that it's by the spirit that we can have fellowship with God. And the spirit was murdered on the day that Adam sinned against God, murdered by sin. And that's the reason Lord Jesus calls Satan a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Okay? And so it was murdered in a sense. So then we come here in Colossians chapter 3. What's the scripture say about the old man? Let's back up here in verse number, let's just read this verse. Lie not one to another, verse number 9, Colossians 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. We see here that the old man, you and I, who are saved, are to put off the old man. I mean, we're to put him off. We're to forget about him, not think about him, not go after his way. We are called to be in tune with our Lord and to follow him and his directive, his scripture. It's if we don't feed upon the word of God, we cannot know what our Lord wants us to do. And if you and I operate on a 2 or 3, 1 hour, 30 minute, 45 session of getting fed each week, you're going to starve. Okay, we're going to starve. We need the word of God within us that we might be instructed by it, that we might learn from our Lord about him and what we need to know, and to meditate and think about the word of God and be fed by him, blessed by him in it. As a brother said recently, when did you ever come to the services of the church and ever was sad that you came? And I know we might think, so, well, we've had some services and some meetings and stuff like that. It was pretty tough and difficult things to handle. But, you know, the Lord blesses and carries us through. And then the worship services that we have, when has it ever been bad to come? Now, thinking of that, when's it ever bad to crack open the Word of God and you not be blessed by it? Amen? Now, if we read it by rote and we just look to cover a few handful of verses without thinking about what we're reading, you know, we can do that. Yeah, the blessing is less, but are we not blessed by feeding and taking in the Word of God? Indeed, we are. And so the apostle writes, lie not one to another, seeing, this is to be the state with the children of God, seeing that you have put off the old man with his sinful deeds, okay? Because that's all he can produce. Ephesians chapter 4, let's take a look over here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22 is our target verse. Let's back up here and get the whole sentence. But ye have not learned, verse number 20, Ephesians 4, 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him. Okay, so there's an if that's there. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you really heard the Lord? Are you his and he is yours? If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Conversation. Thinking, speaking, doing. We're to take that, what that old man does and all that old man wants and desires, and put him off. Okay? It's like, it gives the idea of like taking it off like you take off a coat or like a garment. Put him off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Listen about his state, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Remember what we read in James? We're enticed. We have the desires of the old man, and it's all deceitful. It's deceitful. It's all corrupt. Okay, and we're to take that old fella. We're to take that old man and put him off. Put him off. Romans chapter 6. Take a look over here. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Verse number 6 is what we are after. Let's back up and get the whole sentence. For we have been planted, verse number 5, Romans 6, 5, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Christ died, and we've been buried with him. Okay, that's that ordinance of baptism shows that. We identify, you know, Christ died for our sins. He had no sins. But we do. We have. We've got them. And because of that, because of those sins, my sins caused the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, all right, verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so we identify with his death because he died for us and we die to those same sins that caused his death, all right? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, okay, which we're taking a look at on Wednesday nights, knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him. And we take a look at that picture of crucifixion. When a person is crucified to a tree or to a cross, can they move? Can they go anywhere? The scripture tells us about the crucifixion of the cross and how it is with one that is pinned, is nailed to a tree, that they're cursed because there's no hope. There's no future for someone that is nailed to a tree. Judgment, condemnation, it's certain death. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, so see, that's to be our position regarding this old man, this old flesh, this old mind, is that he's pinned down, he's crucified, and we'll go on with that thought. Listen to this, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Another interesting a group of words there, a phrase that is at hand. Old man crucified. Listen, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I find that interesting and appropriate to our consideration this morning. The body, the old man crucified, that the body might be destroyed. Okay? Our old man will not be salvaged. Listen. And now, you know, John tells us, love not the world, neither the things of the world. And I understand, we're here and we're in this body and we're in this life and we're in this world. But remember, we're not of this world. And this old man, this old mind wants to do nothing but disobey God. But the Lord says that the old man is to be crucified. We understand that. Why? For the purpose that that body might be destroyed. Our old man will not be salvaged, rehabilitated, or reformed in any way. See, the Lord's not going to do a thing with it. And he's going to use it, and that's a point of this idea of crucifixion or mortification and the blessing that we've talked about in past months about how the Lord takes us, saves us, and then takes this old sinful flesh and does use it for his honor and glory for a time, but he's not going to rescue it. Okay? This old body is not going to be rescued, salvaged, reformed in any way. Our old man, does it not say, this passage here, the body of sin, will be destroyed. That's the Lord's attitude towards it. Why? Here's the purpose, that we henceforth should not serve sin. That's supposed to start now. But you know what? That will be the ultimate goal. That is the ultimate goal. And that will we will arrive at what our Lord is aiming to do and will do with us that he's promised us when we're totally conformed and transformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have our new bodies, when we go to heaven to be with our Lord, will we be serving sin anymore? We sure will not. In no way. And not even the slightest sliver. Will we serve sin anymore? Well, our Lord says it's to start now, knowing and understanding what we're heading for. We will not be perfect, but we seek to and strive, should strive to be mature and perfect in our Lord, knowing that one day we will be, but we'll find it a wrestle and a struggle now, but our Lord will help us, won't he? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So the old man, the body of sin, will be destroyed, will not be reformed, will not be rehabilitated, will not be salvaged in any way, that we not should not serve sin. In eternity with our Lord, we will not serve sin in any way. And how about now, as we've pointed out? How do we not serve sin when our old man that we've got here on us can do nothing but serve sin? Remember, the verse says, henceforth, from the time one is saved, going forward, starting right now, when the Lord saved us, we are not to serve sin. So how is it that we do that? How is it that we can accomplish that? Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 8. We recently went through the book of Romans, and we come here to verse number 13, where it speaks about this. See, our attitude, the Lord's attitude about our old man is that it's to be destroyed. You know, we're not to abuse our bodies. They are the temple of the Lord. Okay, understand that. But we are to pin this old man down and mortify this old man wherever and however he wants to sin. Because, see, the Lord's attitude is that it's going to be destroyed. See, if you will, we're to be destroying the sinful way of this old man. Knowing that he's not going to go to be anywhere with the Lord, okay? And so it's the message is dealing about our approach, our understanding, and our attitude. You know, the Lord says, again, the Lord says, the Scripture says, John writes that, love not the world, neither the things of the end of the world, because if we love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. But we do have a tendency to hang on and protect and save this life. And not that we should tempt our Lord. All right. The Lord Jesus spoke about that. We're not to be careless. Yesterday we looked to work and power wash, and we're to use good equipment to do that. Not hang from the roof, you know, on kite string and stuff like that. The roof on kite string. It's going to take me a while to get a handle on that. I guess I've been doing that for 50 years. But we're to not hang on to this life like this is the only thing we have. And there are those that do it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, whosoever will lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same will find it. But whosoever shall save his life will lose it. Okay? And so We need to understand that. Okay, so how do we deal with this old man? In Romans 8, 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Don't do that. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to the unsaved. He's speaking to we who are saved. He's writing to the church at Rome, is he not? For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. What makes sense to this world? What makes sense to this old man, this old mind? What makes natural sense? It's no good. If we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We will have fellowship and blessing with our Lord. This word mortify here, it's used 11 times in the Scripture. It means to kill, to become dead, to put to death. Of the 11 times that this word mortify here is used in the Scriptures, the other 10 are either forms of the word dead or forms of the word kill. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do kill the deeds of the body, shut them down. In Colossians chapter 3, back in Colossians chapter 3, earlier in the chapter, verse number 5, we find this. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. The Lord talks about members, doesn't he? And he says, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. If your hand offend you, cut it off. If your foot offend you, cut it off. And the Lord's not speaking about mutilation of the body. He's making the point that if it could be, and we pointed that out recently in a message too, one eye plucked out will still leave the other. both hands cut off or both feet cut off will still yield the rest because we've got a problem on the inside, don't we? But that's how bad sin is. That's how deadly sin is, that if the cutting off of the hand would do it, it would be well worth it. That's how drastic and how serious the situation is. If the plucking out of an eye would do it, then it would be worth it. Rather than to end, it'd be better to walk into life halt and maimed or blind in one eye. In the eternal kingdom, is there going to be anybody halt or maimed or with one eye? No. All the saints that have been blind or blinded in their lives here will have perfect vision when we're with our Lord, won't we? So see, the Lord is talking about the seriousness indeed of sin. And in Colossians here, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That hand, that foot, that eye, that mind. Listen to what it says here. Here's what they generate. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication with our body. Uncleanness with our body. Inordinate affection with our minds. Evil concupiscence. I understand it to be like unto lasciviousness. A desire for that which is forbidden. It just doesn't belong to us, and we want to go that way. And covetousness, again, an inward thing that yields sin in the flesh. He says, which is idolatry. For these things, for which things sake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. There's some more things that the old man generates. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. So this word mortify is a different one than what we saw in Romans 8, but it is along the same line. It's only used three times. Here it is rendered mortify, and one of the definitions of it is to subdue. To subdue something, you're going to have to work on it. You and I are going to have to work on it. And when our speech is not honoring to our Lord, we need to become sensitive to that. Say, for example, that our speech is not honoring to the Lord, and then we need to start pinning it down, as an example. Or the places that we go, we need to gain sensitivity about where we go that we shouldn't go, and then start pinning those feet down and don't go that way, as an example. Or what we listen to, or what we watch, or what we think about, or what we pursue. All those things of life, we need to mortify our members that they not sin against our Lord and corrupt and defile our own selves and those around us. This word mortify here in Colossians 3:5, the other two times that that same Greek word is used, it comes through as dead. And that's what the Lord says, that this body of sin might be destroyed. So what do the scriptures say about the new man? What is it about the new man? Well, there's a few passages. Let's take a look at those. In Ephesians chapter 4, remember how the scripture talked about putting off the old man? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, let's read here in verse number, let's back up. Verse number 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21 of Ephesians 4, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, all right, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I want to go to that rock concert. No, that's not what the Lord would want me to do. My body and my mind would really enjoy it. It wouldn't be honoring to the Lord. Don't buy those tickets. Don't take those tickets. Burn them. Don't go that way. If the Lord Jesus is not going to be there, don't go there, as an example. But they were, that was a group of my youth that I really enjoyed. Is it honoring to the Lord? Would you sing it or play it in the church house and during the services? I'm just giving an example. Don't buy that CD. Don't buy those downloads. Don't get those games. See there? Don't think after the way the old man works, but run that by the new man. Remember, the new man's a spirit of God living within. The new man wants to do things pleasing to the Lord. The Word of God tells us the way our conscience should be filled, and the way our alarm system should be working within. That sensitivity, we need that sensitivity of what's righteous and what's wicked before our Lord. And it's the Word of God that does that for us. Put on the new man. Put off the old man. Put him off. Offend him. Don't be worried about him. Remember how we know how we say that? So, well, I was kind of put off by that. Get the old man and put him off. He's not the one that's in control and is and the one that's at hand, and he doesn't offer life. The Lord says he's going to be destroyed. Start destroying him now. We're heading to glory. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hear that? The new man by God, after God is created in righteousness, the new man was created in righteousness and was created in true holiness. He's there. He's within. May the Lord help us in that. In Colossians chapter 3, also speaking about the new man, let's take a look here in Colossians 3. We read in verse number 9. We read earlier in verse number 5 about this mortifying. But let's back up and read here in verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. That's just the apostles' expectation of them. And have put on the new man. Sounds like we're going to have a struggle, huh? Sounds like we're going to have something to pursue. Sounds like we're going to have something to do. Sounds like something that we're going to have some focus on. Sounds like something that we may have to gain some sensitivity about and what the Lord thinks about things. And have put on the new man. Listen to how it is with the new man. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man is renewed in knowledge. What's it mean to be renewed? Keep filling up. Keep filling up. Renewed in what? Knowledge. Knowledge about the way things God thinks about things. Knowledge about our Lord. You know, do well if we learn about the holiness and the righteousness of God so we can look to pursue and be that way. Amen? How holy is God? How righteous is God? If we learn about Him, the one that created this new man, right? The Lord created this new man, put him within, gave his spirit to live within. We need to know about him, the one that created such. And that'll do nothing but help us. That will lend and tend to life. And then we come back to Ephesians. We save this verse for this passage for the last. Here, speaking about the new man and what the scriptures say quickly about the new man. We come here to verse number 10 and listen to what the scripture says. For we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. Listen, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's the purpose and plan of God, that we do well before him. With the old man, the flesh profiteth nothing. You remember that verse? But you know what? The new man can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what the Lord expects. That's what he's ordained. His children should be obedient, or to be obedient. He expects nothing else. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles of the flesh, old man, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, old man, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise and having no hope and without God in the world, old man. You see that? All this, each one of these verses are definition of the old man. Alien from God, right? Strangers to the covenant, uncircumcised in the heart. Listen, he's going to talk about the new man. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. New man. Because you know what? The Lord's going to, again, use the old man for the rest of the time that we have. But you know what? The Lord's not interested in the old man. That body of sin is going to be destroyed. For he is our peace. New man. Who hath made both one, listen to this, had made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I had a wall of partition between me and the Lord. You know what? He came and he broke that thing down. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred between the old man and him, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances that I could not keep and continuously sinned against God in, old man, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You know, the Lord, he reached past the old man. And he brought life of twain. Here's my lost state and condition and depravity and wickedness and being hell-bound and separated from God. You know what? And the Lord took me, took my soul, and brought together with the new man. Salvation. And gave you and me, we who are saved, gave us life and hope, help, life. Indeed, brought from darkness unto life by him. For he is our peace, verse 14, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh, when he came as a man, the enmity, the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, which I could not keep, but he did, for or because or that it might be to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Not alienated anymore. Not a stranger anymore. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and how it is, if you will, when the Father looks upon the sinner that he saved, he sees his Son. There's that one man. There's that new man. There's that one by which we have life, even while we carry around and drag around this old dead man. One new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the hatred, the enmity thereby. He took our sins and he paid for them. All that wreck that the old man, all that mess that was generated by Adam and handed down to me and I willfully partook of and desired, Jesus has taken care of that. All that damage, all that sin, all those sins, all that transgression, that he may reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, to the Gentiles and the Jews. It's the way that it works, salvation by our Lord. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. See, the same Spirit that is alive in me and you, we who are saved, is the Spirit of God. Is the Spirit of God living within is the new man. Yet it's us. I'll defer to what Brother Mark said earlier in his lesson and teaching about heaven. I don't understand how it can be, but he says that it is. Amen? We believe it. We receive it. We don't comprehend how it can be. For through him, verse 18, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, verse 19, you're no more strangers. See? No more old man dominant. No more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. You're a saint yourself. And of the household of God. Wow. Of the family of the Lord. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles. He even speaks to us regarding this as he spoke to Ephesus and speaks to us as Olmsted Baptist Church. Not only that, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We're in the Lord's church. Because we've been changed. Because we've been given this new man. Because we've been given life in him, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a whole and holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Not only just a building, but a place where God lives. He lives within us. He lives within us together as his church. New man. New man. I tell you what, you get glimpses and peeks and looks at what the Lord's done. It'll help us to say with the Lord, yeah, go ahead and destroy that body of flesh. See, he is nowhere. And the Lord is life everlasting. See how much old men need our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him. And we who are saved, praise God for his work in us and for the new man. Amen. Let's stand together as the song leader and piano player comes. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Christ. Repent of your sins. Trust in him. You'll find in him every answer to every need that you have. For the forgiveness of your sins, for the granting to you of everlasting life, for peace with your Creator. It's only found in him. It's only found in the Lord. We point you to him. For we are saved. May we rejoice in what our Lord's done for us. He's done all things well, hadn't he?